If you have built castles in the air, your work need not be lost. That is where they should be. Now put foundations under them. Henry David Thoreau.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday, December 14 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. Another happy birthday message I have to start with. To my son, Tandiwe, happy birthday. Berkeley is a company town, and company towns are dead, man. They have the company for a head, and their heart's been bought and sold, man. This place has been massively invaded, that much I do know. And so how much in this protest is true and how much constructed, I can't say. But that much in it is falsely driven, is certain. And my heart is laden, I guess you could say. I'm very, very conscious of the heavy hearts in Hong Kong, among those courageous, courageous folks occupying the streets, the freeways, the minds of all of us. And I want to just say thank you so much to them. That beat that my son composed is dedicated to them, Castles in the Air, with the words of Henry David Thoreau. China with Hong Kong, please, back your courageous children's lead, man. Choose own before throne. They hold all of our hopes for claiming freedom. Too long postponed, man. Sisters and brothers, in our December 7 show, last week's show, these words jumped out and called on us for further thought. There have been only two world revolutions. One took place in 1848. The second took place in 1968. Both were historic failures. Both transformed the world. The fact that both were unplanned and therefore in a profound sense spontaneous explains both facts. The fact that they failed and the fact that they transformed the world. But I'm not at all certain that this picture's been properly framed, and I think we may need to step back in the book a bit for me to explain. And I posted a photograph from a book called Dan Weiner, 1919 to 1959, a collection of his photographs. The love expressed in that man's photographs, you have to wonder if there was more to that plane crash than met the eye. Now, I definitely wonder. Because love is the greatest threat to power, and power don't suffer threats. That is for certain, too. The photograph I posted was a photograph of an empty bus, save this one woman, who he caught her telling us a lot. He had a gift for that. Titled The Montgomery Bus Boycott, 1956. Now, folks didn't join in an organization to accomplish this, that empty bus. They joined hearts. Turning on the radio on December 9th, I caught part of the broadcast of Democracy Now! From the UN Climate Summit in Lima, Peru. And I heard a guest say that we, always that we, in quotes, had to move to a post-carbon economy. Now, what would that look like concretely, I wonder? You know, it's a constant drumbeat in this space. that we have to have a concrete picture of what we want. We have to make it real to our brothers and sisters. So I listened on, and this is some of what I heard. One of the guests, Pasco Sabido of the Corporate Europe Observatory, spoke about his organization's report called Corporate Conquistadors, the many ways multinationals both drive and profit from climate destruction. He said, quote, next year in Paris, I don't predict that we're going to have something that many of us are going to be happy with. It's not going to be ambitious. It's not going to be just. But the reason that is because we as social movements, as concerned citizens, we don't have power. We don't have control over our governments. They aren't listening to us. So in order to get a good outcome here in the UN, we need to have power at home, and we need to really build that accountability. And one of the clear ways is to get rid of the fossil fuel industry's influence, you know, out of these talks, out of our national governments, and really build our power, unquote. Now, I hope folks have been reading the excerpts I've been putting up from anti-systemic movements, because this is extremely revealing in light of that work, which is, you know, almost 30 years old. Still completely relevant, because our resistance just keeps going round and round and round. We keep getting nowhere, and we haven't advanced our discussion, our analysis of it. Largely because the folks who did that hard work aren't discussed. We don't have access to them, which is why I post their words. And then there was Atossa Saltani, who's the founder and executive director of Amazon Watch. She said, we have to really cut, this was, again, I'm looking for concrete here. What is it that we want? And what do we got so far? We got the same strategy that our trio who wrote Anti-Systemic Movements, Giovanni Arrighi, Terence Hopkins, Emmanuel Wallerstein, the same strategy they called out 30 years ago, claim the state, make it accountable. Same strategy. That's what we got from Mr. Sabido. So what's our concrete from Ms. Sultani? We have to really cut subsidies, she says, and stop exploration altogether of oil, gas, carbon, coal in the Amazon region, actually everywhere. We have to basically stop expanding the search for more fossil fuels and start to talk about which reserves get kept underground. We have to basically tax carbon, unquote. Now that's, in my mind, not a vision of a future. It's, again, a vision of a policy in very rough form. No suggestion of how to get there except through the same strategy that we hear over and over, build social movements to do it. Okay, well, how's that worked out for us over the centuries is what we're going to be discussing as we read Anti-Systemic Movements.